from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Two Indonesians released by Abu Sayyaf Group. President Jokowi officiated the first toll road in Lampung. Bali jewelry exports increased by 20%. Now the news in detail. Good news finally came to Indonesia on Friday night when two citizens, Lautu and Lahadi, fishermen from Wakatobi, who were adopted by Abu Sayyaf Group in Kertam Waters, Sabah, Malaysia on November 5, 2016, were finally released. Currently, both are in Zamboanga City for a medical check-up before being sent home. Director of Indonesian Citizens Protection and Legal Aid, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, when interviewed by RRI on Saturday, ensured that in the process of freeing the two fishermen, there was no payment or ransom to Abu Sayyaf Group. The government has never negotiated with the hostage taker because it means negotiating with the criminals. So we put forward the role of the family and we accompanied the family. Muhammad Iqbal added that the release of the two fishermen who were brought to the waters of Sulu, the southern Philippines, was the result of intensive negotiations on the part of the families with the hostage takers that ran for almost 14 months. Meanwhile, both Lautu and Lahadi were declared in good conditions. Lalu Muhammad Iqbal said that in addition to medical examinations, the process for trauma healings was also focused on them before eventually being repatriated. Meanwhile, Iqbal stated that the Indonesian government is currently still working hard for the release of three other Indonesians kidnapped by different groups of hostage takers in the waters of Taganak Island, Sabah, Malaysia, on January 18, 2017, and currently are being held hostage in Sulu waters, southern Philippines. President Joko Widodo officiated 14.54 kilometers first section of a toll road in Lampung province today. The ceremony was held at 9 a.m. and it is part of 140.9 kilometers long Bakahuni Terbanggi Besal toll road, which is the first toll road in Lampung. The construction of Section 1 toll road was carried out by PT Pembangunan Perumahan and the construction of Section 5 was done by PT Waskita Karya. The toll roads have two lanes with two lines in each lane. Bakauheni Terbanggi Besar toll road has been built since 2015. The construction is divided into four packages targeted to complete in 2019. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla appreciated the good relationship with Japan that has been going on for 60 years. Yusuf Kalla considered Japan as one of the major countries and the main trading partner for Indonesia. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, in his remark on the commemoration of the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Japan and Indonesia on Saturday, said that currently Japan is the second largest investor in Indonesia and one of the main trading partners. There has been around 1,800 companies investing in Indonesia and has contributed to encourage the improvement of competitiveness and economize Indonesia. He said from the political side, the two countries also have a solid cooperation, agreement and strategic partnership for a peaceful and prosperous future. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's special envoy, Toshihiro Nakai, welcomed and matched the close ties between the two countries over 60 years. In the event, a video of 60 years diplomatic relations between Japan and Indonesia was screened. In addition, there was a launching of stamps of 60 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Japan. Bali exports of various types of jewelry made by skilled craftsmen, mostly from Ciluk Village, Gianyar Regency, reached $7.31 million in November 2017, or up $1.26 million compared to the previous month. Head of Bali Provincial Central Statistics Agency, Adi Nugroho, said in Denpasar on Sunday that the foreign exchange gain compared to the same month in the previous year also increased by 5.18%. Adi Nugroho said that the export of various types of jewelry is mostly to Germany, followed by the United States, Australia, and others. It is exported to many countries around the world because various types of Balinese jewelry, especially those made of silver, are highly in demand by consumers overseas with a fairly affordable price. Two F-16 jet fighters grant from the United States arrived at Iswahyudi Air Force Base in Magetan, East Java on January 18. The jets fighters were the last batch of the 24 units of U.S. jets grant. Military observer of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Muhammad Nur Hasim, to Voice of Indonesia RRI, on Saturday commented that the U.S. jet fighters grant is part of the U.S. foreign policy that put forward the U.S. interest in the Asian region, including Indonesia.
Salah satu pertimbangan dibukanya kembali hubungan.
Among the considerations of the reopening military cooperation between Indonesia and the United States is that Indonesia has changed politically. I think there is a significant change, a democratic consolidation process, a criteria of human rights, and so on. There is also an opportunity of world political constellation. I think the U.S. interest in Asia and Southeast Asia has been one of factors why program of jet fighter grant is sustained. Indonesian government is expected to be able to overcome human rights issues by enforcing law. An activist of human rights, Natalius Pigai, to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday afternoon said, law enforcement in Indonesia must be respected.
Ekspektasi kepada Presiden Jokowi itu tinggi sekali karena dengan terpilihnya beliau menjadi presiden.
The people have high expectation to President Jokowi because since he was elected president, there have been possibilities to enforce law related to human rights issues, whether in connection with the government policy, such as in education, health, and so on, or some big issues of human rights which until now have not been completely solved. Natalius Pigai also said people, observers, and human rights activists keep on encouraging the government to give serious attention to the accomplishment of human rights issues, which has become one of the government duties. Indonesian badminton men double Fajar Alfian, Muhammad Rian Ardianto successfully stepped into the final of Malaysia Masters 2018 badminton tournament. The official website of Badminton World Federation, BWF, on Saturday said the Indonesian duo secured the ticket to the top party after subverting the Danish duet 5-seeded in the tournament Mats Konrad Pritersen, Mats Miller Kolding in the semifinals. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesians released by Abu Sayyaf Group, yet government make sure no ransom was paid. President Joko Widodo officiates the first toll road in Lampung today. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said Japan is main trading partner for Indonesia. Bali jewelry exports increased up by 20%. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia. Today it's on Gelora Bung Karno Main Stadium meets FIFA standards. Stay tuned. Bung Karno Main Stadium in Jakarta, which was built by President Sukarno in 1960 and inaugurated in 1962, has been completely renovated. The largest sports stadium in Southeast Asia was a silent witness to the hosting of the 4th Asian Games in 1962 and the Ganevo Games in 1963. Now, Bung Karno Main Stadium, formerly Senayan Main Stadium, is set to become the main arena of the 18th Asian Games 2018 to be held in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra, from August the 18th until September the 2nd. The renovation of the main stadium meets FIFA international standards, and that is very important. The capacity of Bung Karno Main Stadium is now 80,000 seats with better seat quality, which is divided into two categories, single seats and folding chairs that have met the evacuation accessibility standards. President Joko Widodo in his Facebook account said, "One of the safety and security requirements of FIFA standards is that if conditions of chaos or emergency occur, all people inside the stadium must be able to get out in 15 minutes after the decision to evacuate is declared. In addition, the stadium is illuminated by 3,500 lux power lights. It's three times brighter than before, but 50% more energy-efficient electricity because it uses LEDs instead of conventional lights. Exposure to digital television broadcasting and international news photo standards is a must. The main thing is the grass on the football field is of international standard turf for football, the Zoysia Matrela, which is equipped with automatic sprinklers and anti-flood drainage system." To mark the inauguration of the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, a soccer match between Indonesia and Iceland, one of the 2018 World Cup participants in Russia, was held on January the 14th. This became the inaugural match of inter-country football after the renovation of Gelora Bung Karno Main Stadium was declared complete. After the match, President Joko Widodo said, "From the match, it can be seen what to be fixed and improved. The stadium will be used for various activities in regional as well as international events such as the Asian Games, especially football. The president also assessed the condition of the main stadium was satisfactory as can be seen when used by the two teams from Indonesia and Iceland." President Joko Widodo expressed his gratitude because 7 months before the implementation of Asian Games 2018, the renovation of Gelora Bung Karno Main Stadium finally completed and ready for use. That was My Indonesia Today over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with January the 21st, 1985, Borobudur Temple bombing. On Monday, January the 21st, 1985, the bombing occurred at Borobudur Temple located in Magelang, Central Jawa. Some explosions are quite devastating, destroying 9 stupas in the temple relics of the Sailendra dynasty. This terrorism incident is the second jihad terrorism that struck Indonesia after the hijacking of Garuda DC-9 Woyla aircraft by members of Komando Jihad in 1981. The brain of this bombing incident is referred to as Ibrahim, aka Muhammad Jawad, aka Krishna, who according to the police investigator was the mastermind of the bombing. Turning to January the 21st, 1968, the Battle of Kesan. The Battle of Kesan, from January the 21st until July the 9th, 1968, was conducted in the Kesan area of northwestern Quang Tri Province, Republic of Vietnam or South Vietnam, during the Vietnam War. The main U.S. forces defending Kesan Combat Base were two regiments of U.S. Marines supported by elements from the U.S. Army and Air Force. There were also a small number of South Vietnamese Army troops. These were pitted against two to three divisional-sized elements of the North Vietnamese Army. During the 60 days of the siege, U.S. airplanes dropped 5,000 bombs daily, where the explosion was equivalent to the Hiroshima atomic bomb in Japan. Operation of Pegasus Kesan began in early April when a cavalry and a Southern Vietnam battalion approached Kesan. The siege finally stopped on April the 6th when the cavalry forces were connected to the Southern Marines from the Kesan airfield. The U.S. also claimed their victory for retaining the headquarters of North Vietnam. The official casualty number for the Battle of Kesan was 205 Marines killed and over 1,600 wounded. The last is from January 21, 2016. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the first rapid train development in Southeast Asia. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the construction of the Jakarta-Bandung speed train in Mandalawangi Tea Plantation, West Bandung. According to the president, fast train is one factor in the speed that can make a country win the competition, because it accelerates the mobility of goods and people. The construction of this rapid train project was also to raise public awareness to be able to switch from private transportation to mass transportation. Rapid railway project was built by the investment funds from the consortium of state-owned enterprises of Indonesia and China, so that it does not involve the state revenue and expenditure budget. China State Councilor Wang Yong said Jakarta-Bandung fast train will be the first fast train in Southeast Asia. That was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with a weekly segment, This Week's Spotlight. Today's edition is on Indonesia International Islamic University intended for the whole world. President Joko Widodo on Thursday afternoon chaired a limited meeting discussing the development of the International Islamic University of Indonesia, or UIII, at the Presidential Office Jakarta. At the opening of the meeting, President Jokowi said the presidential regulation on the university's development has been signed more than a year ago. Through this meeting, the president wants to know its development progress. He also reminded the reason why the university is built, even though Indonesia has many similar universities. According to the president, it is not only to answer domestic needs, but also the needs of the international community, to strengthen Indonesia's leadership internationally, especially international Muslims. The existence of the university is expected to be a place to learn Islamic civilization by students at home and abroad. President Joko Widodo said he got input from a number of Islamic State leaders in the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, on the importance of the university development. The university can be used as an arena of student exchange. According to President Joko Widodo, the OIC leaders are of the opinion that the young generation of Indonesia sent to the Middle East should learn economics, trade, and petroleum, while young generations of the Middle East learn about Islam in Indonesia. Separately, Minister of Public Works and People's Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono confirmed that the meeting decided that the construction of the university will be held in May 2018. Its development budget amounts to 3.9 trillion rupiahs and comes from the state budget and grants from other countries. The building will have futuristic design. Minister Basuki added that the entire building only takes 20-30% of the total area of the campus complex, which reaches 143 hectares. In other words, 70% of which will be green space, can be tangible parks and forests. Well, that was this week's Spotlight on Indonesia's International Islamic University intended for the whole world. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with news in brief. Good news finally came to Indonesia on Friday night when two citizens, Lautu and Lahadi, fishermen from Wakatobi, who were abducted by the Abu Sayyaf group in Kertam Water, Sabah, Malaysia, on November 5, 2016, were finally released. President Joko Widodo officiated 14.54 kilometers first section of the first toll road in Lampung province today. Vice President Yusuf Kalla appreciated the good relationship with Japan that has been going on for 60 years. Bali exports of various types of jewelry made by skilled craftsmen, mostly from Celuk Village, Gianyar, reached $7.31 million during November 2017, or up by 20%. Two F-16 jet fighters grant from the U.S. arrive in Iswahyudi Air Force Base in Magetan, East Java, and it was the last batch of the 24 units U.S. jet grants. Indonesian government is expected to be able to overcome human rights issues by enforcing law, according to an activist of human rights, Natalius Pigai. Indonesian badminton men double Fajar Alfian, Muhammad Rian Ardianto successfully stepped into the final of Malaysian Masters 2018 badminton tournament. That was the end of news in brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello there, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a special segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including destinations, places of interest, culture and tradition, also culinary. Today, I will invite you to visit Banda Aceh, which is the capital of Aceh province, to taste the typical Aceh coffee. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Aceh province in the westernmost of Indonesia is called Serambi Mekah or the Veranda of Mekah. This because people there are known to be devout Muslims. However, Aceh is also popular with its traditional coffee shops or coffee stalls. As a coffee producing area, there are two types of coffee cultivated in Aceh, namely Arabica and Robusta coffee. Arabica coffee is generally cultivated in the highlands of Tanah Gayo, southeast Aceh and Gayo Luas. Whereas in Pidie district, especially Tanse, Gempang, and West Aceh, Robusta coffee type is more dominantly developed. Gayo coffee is famous for its savory bitter taste and sharp aroma. In the highlands of Gayo, there is a way of drinking coffee passed down from generation to generation called kopi kertup or kertup coffee. Basically, it means drinking hot black coffee with pieces of palm sugar or brown sugar, which is supposed to enrich the taste of coffee. The term kertup comes from Acehese language, which means to bite or being bitten. To enjoy a cup of kertup coffee, you must first put a piece of palm sugar into your mouth. chew it slowly, or let the lump melt in your mouth to mix the faintly bitter taste of coffee with sweet palm sugar. Feel the sensation of a mixture of liquid coffee and molasses of palm sugar and the taste of caffeine that meets palm sugar in the palate. It feels very unique. The sweet taste produced by palm sugar is different from ordinary white sugar or sweetener. Today, coffee kertup or kertup coffee from Gayo is a little hard to find in Aceh, except in some coffee stalls managed by people from Gayo who preserve the tradition of drinking this coffee. Yet, if you want to try Gayo-style kertup coffee, you can do it yourself as long as following the ways. First, choose original coffee powder from Gayo, which is now widely sold and packaged nicely. Why Gayo coffee? This is none other than to get the taste that is not much different from the original kertup coffee from Gayo Aceh. You need to boil the water, then pour approximately 100 and 120 cc to 1 to 2 tablespoons of coffee. Do not pour the hot water at once, but divide it into two pours. The first pour is about a quarter of the water. Let the coffee powder dissolve nicely first, then stir without using a spoon. You know, without spoon, just turn or spin the glass or cup. After it mix evenly, pour the remaining water. Set a few moments for the aroma to come out. Rough coffee powder will come above the surface. Lower or drain it using a spoon. Wait a while, then the kertup coffee is ready to be enjoyed. Don't forget to prepare the palm sugar. You'd feel the unique sensation immediately. Drinking a cup of kertup coffee is another way to enjoy brewed coffee. The presence of brown sugar or palm sugar is guaranteed to add rich taste of the coffee on your tongue. Today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Kopi Kertup from Gayo Aceh. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, I will inform you about University of Gajah Mada develops new peanut variety. Stay tuned. Listener, improving national food security is one of the missions relevant to biology researchers in Indonesia. Various researchers continue to be developed to improve food quality as well as welfare. One of them is a research for peanut development or Arachis hypogea. Peanut is the type of nuts widely consumed by Indonesian people, after soybeans. In addition to having delicious taste, peanuts contain nutritional benefits for health, including reducing blood sugar, lessening depression as a source of energy, and preventing various cancers. In Indonesia, peanuts are widely grown in a number of areas, such as Aceh, Bali, East Java, Jambi, South Kalimantan, West Nusa Tenggara, West Sumatra, and others. Listener, for that reason, Biology Faculty of University of Gajah Mada in Yogyakarta is developing research for a new peanut variety. It has some advantages such as more number of seeds, bigger size, and higher productivity compared to common peanuts. The research has been doing since July 2017 in Ngombol Greenhouse, Purworejo, team up with local farmers. Budi S. Daryono, Dean of Biology Faculty of University of Gajah Mada, said that this new peanut variety has different characteristics from those commonly consumed by the people. In a pod, this peanut has 3-5 seeds. Budi explained that the seeds and pods are also bigger than common peanut. Besides, productivity per plant is higher, more or less about 20 pieces per plant. He said the peanut is developed through polypodization or plant chromosome multiplication. Thus, the resulted plant will have phenotype characteristics in terms of structural, biochemical, phylogenetic, and behavioral characteristics such as roots, stems, leaves, flowers, and seeds bigger than the original plants. In addition, Budi S. Daryono viewed that the peanut developed under the Laboratory of Genetics and Breeding Faculty of Biology of University of Gajah Mada in Yogyakarta has a unique characteristic. This new variety of peanut seeds has a purple-brown striated lurk or patches. Because of the unique character or striated skin, then Dr. Budi Daryono said that he would propose a new scientific name, especially at level of varieties, Arachis hypogea variety, Luricensis for the peanut. He stated that they will continue to explore further scientific information on this type of peanut. It is not impossible that the Faculty of Biology will contribute significantly in the formulation of the new scientific name of varieties to the peanuts. This was reinforced by expert of plant taxonomy of biology faculty at University of Gajah Mada, Dr. Purnomo, who said that filling the name of variety is very possible as long as provided with various supporting data to obtain a comprehensive description. According to him, until now, there has been no formal intraspecific classification for this peanut type. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. See you again with another interesting topic. Bye!
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by P. Rakesh in India. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency 9525 kHz at 10:20 UTC on December 5th, 2017. Hello, Mr. Rakesh. Thank you for sending your reception report, but unfortunately, you did not tell about how our broadcast can be received in your country. Is it clear or not? Is there any interference or not? Well, Mr. Rakesh, please give your suggestions to improve our broadcast. And as your request, we will send our QSL card to your home immediately. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. Now we will replay a letter from MD Mizanur Rahman in Bangladesh. In his email, Mr. Mizanur Rahman told that he likes our program. According to him, our website is very informative and beautiful, so everybody can get news and report on current issues from our website. Hello, Mr. Mizanur Rahman. Thank you very much for your compliment on our broadcast and website. How are you? We are glad because you still monitor our radio, so please keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report. Thank you. Listeners, wherever you are, let's listen to a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Waktu berjalan begitu pelan, Dan ku sadari semua telah pergi. Coba menahan beratnya beban. Lalui hari tanpamu di sini. Takkan hiraukan semua ucapan. Kau pun berlalu, kau tinggalkan aku. Tentukan tujuan dan ku mulai berjalan. Ku kan terus melaju. Takkan menyerah, ku lanjutkan langkah. Ku lalui hari. Takkan menyerah dan terus melangkah tanpamu di sini. Waktu berjalan begitu pelan dan ku sadari semua telah pergi. Coba menahan beban. Lalui hari tanpamu di sini. Takkan hiraukan semua ucapan. Kau pun berlalu, kau tinggalkan aku. Tentukan tujuan dan ku mulai berjalan. Ku kan terus melaju.
Still listening to listeners' mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a letter from Mr. Hannu Kishi in Finland. He was listening to our English program through frequency of 9525 kHz on November 2017 at 1338 to 1350 UTC, and the simple was 44343. In his letter, Mr. Hannu Kishi said that he has the pleasure of our station. Hello, Mr. Hannu Kishi. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Your reception report is very detailed. It is useful for us to know how our broadcast can be monitored in your country. Your request will be delivered to our management. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Well, Mr. Hannu Kishi, please keep listening to our broadcast and send your report. For you listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Put
sambil berdendang ku coba tuliskan lagu, ceritakan tentang indah wajahmu. Hayalanku pun menari-nari, ku bayangkan jika kau ada di sini menulis dan bernyanyi bersamaku. Menulis kisah tentang kau dan aku. Nantikan ku datang, jumpai dirimu, habiskan malam bersamamu. Jagalah hatimu, tunggulah diriku, ku kan kembali bersama. Bersamamu. Ku ingat saat kau tersenyum, menggenggam tanganku waktu hujan turun. Betapa ku rindukan saat itu. Dan bila suatu hari nanti ku kan pergi lagi untuk mengejar mimpi, kan ku simpan senyummu dalam hati. Tuk bekal ku bermimpi di malam hari. Nantikan ku datang, jumpai dirimu, habiskan malam bersama. Semua rasa rinduku kepadamu, kekuatkan hati jalani hidup di sini, tenangkan jiwamu, ku pastikan kembali bersama. Nantikan ku datang, jumpai dirimu, habiskan malam bersama.
Before we end our listeners' mailbag, we want to reply an email from Fritz Endorf in Germany. He was listening to a broadcast in German program through shortwave on frequency 9525 kHz at November 26, 2017 at 18-19 hours UTC with simple 55555. Hello, Mr. Fritz Endorf. Thank you very much for your confirmation that you have received our KSL card. We have delivered your email to German section, so please to wait for the reply. Thank you. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again. Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika. Thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Look at the sky, see what I've done. I was arranging the stars while you slept. Hear the sound of wind and feel the beauty. Amazing, beautiful love song. For you, it's just for you. Amazing, beautiful love song. For you, it's just for you. And now you can feel the love surrounding you. And now you can feel the love surrounding you. And the time goes by, but our memories will be still alive. Never be broken, never be broken, please. Don't cry, it's my destiny and I have to go, 'cause I have to go.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, Nomor 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.